The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
This year, 81 cases of measles have been diagnosed in Ireland. It appears that this condition is on the rise. For example, cases in the United States have already tripled on last year's total. So who precisely is at risk? How can we prevent its spread? And what should you do if you have it or a member of your family has it? Sheena Mitchell is pharmacist at Milltown, a Total Health Pharmacy, and health advocate at wondercare.ie. Sheena, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
81 cases so far, with a number of outbreaks in various parts of the country. Do we know why?
Well, I think really it comes down to the fact that we have only a vaccination rate of about 90% of the population. And we know from the World Health Organization that they recommend at least 95% vaccination rate to kind of offer that herd immunity amongst communities. So there's several reasons why our vaccination rate is low. And I think the pandemic certainly has a big role to play in that. So it's really, really important to urge people to catch up on any missed appointments that, you know, they mightn't have gotten to, say, when children were missing from junior infants, they were at home, they weren't in the classroom. If parents didn't go and receive the childhood vaccines, that makes them that bit more vulnerable.
Now, we've had the MMR vaccine, mumps, measles, rubella vaccine for decades. So is there any resistance to that vaccine?
So I think, yeah, as you said, it came in 1988, and initially there was resistance because it was around that time that Dr. Wakefield mentioned a potential link with autism in The Lancet. Now, he was actually struck off the register, and that was completely debunked. And there's been huge studies of hundreds and hundreds of thousands of children since, which proved that there is no increased risk of autism, you know, as a result of the MMR. So I suppose that would have affected some children who are actually in a group that are being affected at the moment, which is kind of the 25 to 40 year olds. So some people there may not have been vaccinated. And I was spending a lot of time on my Instagram urging people to check their vaccination status, because it might be that your parents made a decision at the time based on the information that they had available, but things have since changed and we know more. So definitely important to check with your GP and your local immunizations office to make sure that you are in fact vaccinated.
Yeah, in the numbers game, you look at the cohorts, and the highest number of cases, 25 to 34 year olds. The next one is the childhood cohort, 5 to 9 year olds, and then the teenage cohort, 15 to 19 year olds. So it's no respecter of age.
No, like I think you can definitely see, I'd say that older cohort is definitely to do with vaccine hesitancy back in the day. And I think at the moment, those 5 to 9 year olds, a lot of them could be due to missed vaccines down to the pandemic. So, but as you said there, it is fairly, you know, while it's higher in certain groups, it's fairly widespread and everyone is at risk. Now, obviously, the immunocompromised and young children are most at risk of complications, but it's certainly not a pleasant disease for any age group to contract.
Tell me about the symptoms and how they might vary from person to person.
So with measles, first thing I suppose to say is it is extremely contagious. And I think it's nice in a way just for people to understand if you compare it with flu. We know the flu is really contagious. So with flu, one sick child will infect on average 1 to 4 others. Whereas with measles, they'll infect 12 to 18 others. Now, this is because basically it lives on surfaces for up to 2 hours. All you have to do is breathe the same air as someone who has had active measles. So it is really, really contagious. And that contagious period will last for 4 days before a rash appears. So people can be going about their normal business and not even realize they have it. So the first symptoms would be things like fever, a head cold, a bit of a cough. People will also suffer from a loss of appetite. Kids might get conjunctivitis, you know, that sticky eye. Mm-hmm. And one of the unique things, which is actually a really big help, is that before the rash appears, which usually happens 3 to 5 days after those symptoms, if you look inside your mouth or your child's mouth, In 80% of people with measles, you will see little white spots that are called coplic spots. And they are visible in the inner cheek and gums, and they almost look like little grains of salt. And that is a big indicator. And it's a little bit of, I suppose, a help in spotting measles early before the typical rash appears.
Now, the typical rash, in the comic books, whenever they showed school children with measles, and when I was growing up, it was always kind of the subject of stuff in comics. And it wasn't a health prevention device. It was just comedy. And they always showed individual spots, a face of a cartoon child with big spots, individual spots. But looking at some of the pictures, I mean, there may not be these very distinctive individual spots. It may be kind of all mushed together into one big rash.
Exactly. So with, you know, say chickenpox, you've got those distinct, obvious spots. But with the measles rash, it's often quite blotchy. And normally it starts around the ears or hairline, and it starts moving down the body onto the trunk, so the back and chest, and then onto the limbs. And it can be itchy, but it doesn't necessarily, you know, have to be itchy. And one thing I will say, a common symptom between meningitis and measles is light sensitivity. And look, anytime we're talking about any disease that involves rashes and fever and light sensitivity, I will just flag to do that tumbler rash, you know, so hold a glass up against the rash to see if it fades or not, because a meningitis rash will not fade under the pressure of a glass, whereas, you know, a measles one will.
Now, how dangerous is measles? Because many people will say, oh, yeah, I had that when I was a child, never did me much harm. I was off school for a few days and then I was back. So potentially, how bad can it be?
It can be really bad. And actually, on that, you know, I suppose grandparents talking and even parents saying, we used to have, measles was widespread, and it was like before we had a vaccine, there was 5,000 cases a year. And since the vaccine came in, you know, up to around 1987, 1988, there was only 200 cases a year. So the vaccine is really effective. But the problem with it is that the complications are quite severe. So 1 to 6% of people who get measles will develop pneumonia. And pneumonia is responsible for 6 out of 10 deaths that occur in measles. It has actually a case fatality. So 1 to 3 people per 1,000 people who contract measles will actually die, which for a preventable disease is an absolutely unacceptable risk. About 7 to 9% will get things like ear infection. 8% will get diarrhea, dehydration. And then you get into the really serious side of it. So 0.5 to 1%. So about 1% will suffer from post-infection encephalitis. So this is a long-term serious disease, and it involves inflammation of the brain. And it can actually take months or years to recover. And more rare than that is a subacute sclerosing panencephalitis. So to make that into English, 1 in 100,000 people will get a degenerative disorder, which actually is fatal, and it won't occur at the time of disease. It's usually on average around 7 years post-infection. And that's very frightening, because it affects mostly children who had measles before they were 2. So in the younger age group, once the measles is cleared, unfortunately, there is a small and rare, but an existing risk of 1 in 100,000 that a few years later, they will also suffer from complications.
Now, so, if you're unfortunate enough to contract the measles, what are the treatments?
So for measles, excuse me, the first thing you do, obviously, is phone your healthcare provider, so your GP, and get advice, because they will want to obviously record it. And there is an incident management team working for public health, trying to make sure that cases are managed well in the community and that people who may have been exposed can be protected. But if you have measles or suspect you have measles, you're going to have a fever and aches and pains. So you're going to need to take paracetamol or ibuprofen and lots of water. Trying to keep kids and adults drinking to prevent dehydration is important. So a lot of that, you know, is kind of common flu management. But unfortunately, then if the complication arrives, if you get very bad chest pain or shortness of breath or any kind of coughing up of blood, drowsiness, confusion, any of those symptoms have to be treated in hospital. So you have to go to your emergency department in that case.
Now, if you've had measles in the past, are you immune to getting it a second time?
Yes, it's immunity from wild disease. So anyone who would have had natural wild measles is considered to have lifelong immunity.
Okay, and you need what, the double dose of the the original plus the booster of the MMR?
Exactly. So the MMR is currently given to children at 12 months and then again in junior infants at 4 to 5 years. So after the first dose, and I know a lot of people were really concerned about this when it was coming up to summer and we were talking about travel, but the first dose does actually offer over 90% protection, and the second dose tops that up to 95%. So there is also currently further advice that if you have a baby aged 6 months to 12 years and you're planning on doing any travel outside of Ireland at all, then you should bring your child to get an additional dose. So this dose does not replace the 12-month dose, but it's given in advance of the 12-month dose, about 2 weeks before travel, so that you have extra protection, you know, on flights, yeah, etc.
And if there is a child or an adult with measles on a flight, it's airborne if they're coughing. I presume that's the method by which the virus wants to replicate itself, forcing you, yeah, to cough or sneeze or whatever and get those droplets out there.
Exactly. So coughing and sneezing are the most dangerous, but even breathing, unfortunately, can carry the disease. And as I said, the fact that it can live on surfaces for up to 2 hours makes airports in general quite a risk area, because, you know, you're putting your bag down in the security thing. There's a lot of contact, yeah, with escalators. So definitely it's important to be vigilant going through airports. But I will say, in terms of, reducing fear, one thing that I think is really interesting, people are worried about going abroad because, you know, measles is high in Europe. We are actually like in the top 5 of countries who have, you know, the most risk. We have measles circulating now at a level of 9.1 per 100,000. This a few months ago was 4.1. So Ireland is actually one of the worst places for measles at the moment. So I think sometimes
more likely to catch it here than there, in other words.
Exactly. So while, yes, travel is a worry, the likes of, say, Portugal only have a risk of, I think, or a rate of about 2.1 per 100,000. So it's not necessarily the destination you're going to, but the travel and the airports. So, you know, for concerned people, obviously use your hand gel. And if anyone is immunocompromised, I'm unfortunately going to say wear a mask if you're not vaccinated. But if you are vaccinated, you can rest assured it's a really safe and effective vaccine, and it does offer fantastic protection.
By the way, a question from a listener: if you get measles or chickenpox or whatever that you never got as a child, if you get it as an adult, do they tend to be more severe?
So in chickenpox, yes. In measles, no. So with chickenpox, you know, it can, I suppose, now it comes down to, I suppose, tolerance as well as an adult versus as a child. We certainly are capable of complaining more as adults. But yeah, the complications of measles, like the pneumonia aspect of it, yeah, and all of that are worse for young children.
All right, Sheena, thank you very much for joining us. That's Sheena Mitchell, pharmacist at Milltown Total Health Pharmacy and health advocate at wondercare.ie.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.